Lord, we open your word today and we say, would you please answer everything that we've been praying today and make it make more sense to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been starting each of our sessions along this line with 2 Corinthians 10, starting with verse 3. This is the Amplified Version. For though we walk or live in the flesh, and he's not talking about anti-spirit, he's talking about this stuff. We live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. So that means we use weapons that are not merely human. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. So in order to get strongholds torn down, you've got to use the weapons that are empowered by God, not necessarily our slick thinking. And it's really interesting. Well, I won't go that far because I'll never get off it. But there's a lot of people who talk about this now from a emotional or scientific or maybe even psychological point of view and of mind renewal, and it doesn't work. Because you can't change to stay changed what needs to be changed unless you have the weapons that God has empowered. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thought that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. Wow. So he's talking about these are the things that create the strongholds. Arguments, theories, reasonings. Haven't you ever, isn't there a person in your acquaintance that just wants to argue the opposite point all the time? Yes, and you say yes, and I married him. That's not as funny as it is true. But, right? Mars and Venus and Pluto. You know, people from different planets. I love that. Don't go to Pluto. It's a Mickey Mouse planet. I just think that's a great... That's Robin Williams, not me, but I remember it. The thing is, when we cherish something and we defend it, that's coming from a stronghold. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Now, there are strongholds that do line up with the Word of God because that's where they came from, and you want those, right? But that, so we're talking about stuff that somehow got in there and caused us to think differently than we ought to think. And I know when the first time I ever taught this, long time ago, I got more hassle when I preached this series about being saved in your thinking. Strongholds are a safer thing to say. But well, what do you mean? I am already saved. Well, think like it. That didn't get well received either. But that's the deal. That's what we're trying to do, is we've got to think like we're saved or we'll end up making choices that make us look like we don't. That we aren't. And then people say, hypocrite. It's not that. We need a mind reset. That's true. And you know this happened. It happens with your habits. It happens with your speech. It happens with most of you before you became a Christian didn't get up early on Sunday mornings to come and sing real loud. Right? I mean, it changes what you do. And it needs to change what we think. So I'm just going to read you something. I'm going to skip part of what's on the outline and see if I can find this one. It's interesting to me the way other people see it. Dallas Willard, who I've taught several of his classes that he has on video, and brilliant man. And essentially, here it is. Notes. Essentially, what he's saying is that the strongest way to fight against strongholds is to memorize Scripture. And I thought, well, that Charles probably wrote that, but he didn't. Now, it's not necessarily just memorization. It's what I call using Scripture. And that means you're saying it, you're praying it, you're singing it, you're thinking it, you know, more or less meditating on it. But though, when you sink your thinking into the Scriptures, truth comes out. It just does. The Bible's alive. Anybody ever? The Word of God is alive. How can that be? It's because you read the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit quickens that thing and it becomes alive in you. And then it works on eroding those things that have caused you to think obtuse. I mean, in a way that's against or contrary to the Scriptures. Like, you know, I've told the example, I went to the Sunday school class right after I got saved. They were talking about the woman caught in adultery, and I said, what's the big deal? What's wrong with that? Everybody does that. It's like eating an ice cream sundae, you know, you just indulged in appetite. That didn't meet with very good acceptance. And it proved right out that I really believed that because I had a stronghold so long and talked about it so many times and thought it so many times, I thought everybody thought that way. Not so much. This was, you know, in this gathering, that's not so. It made it very clear. I really needed to do something. And I was being honest. I was just being stupid, but I was being honest. That's what I really thought. So the Holy Spirit needed to get in there and turn the wheel of my thinking, get me back out of the ditch and on the road. See that? I had to, do you know how many times I had to admit I was wrong? I mean, for the first time and then for about the 119th time, I had to admit that I was wrong. I'd say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't know that wasn't true because I believed it and I thought everything I believed was true. And so do you. You do. You defend things. You do things that are like, why you do that? Oh, I don't know. That's the way I've always done them. That's probably a good thing to check on. Now, it doesn't mean everything is wrong. I'm not saying that. But that's how he does it from the inside out. I've used this a million times. I'm just rolling here. So Matthew 13:33. Well, I'll just read it. This is where the lady has, hope I can get down here and walk. Has three measures of meal, and she has a little bit of yeast. Leaven, it's called in the Scriptures, and it says she worked, she kneaded, with a K, K-N-E, right? She kneaded that stuff through the three measures of meal, and pretty soon all three measures of meal were infected with the yeast. And now, the nature of the meal had been changed. And when the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and quickens it to you and begins to work it through the three measures of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, the same thing can happen if you stay with it. He will cause your thinking, your mind, your will, and your emotions to take on the nature of God instead of what's written down in your heart. Isn't that good? See, it's good. I'm sorry, guys, it's just being me. It's this way. When that begins to happen in you, you are immediately beginning to destroy strongholds in your life because the Word of God is live and active in there. Again, all three measures, mind, will, and emotion, giving you the opportunity to see how you don't think the way God thinks, and to say yes to it. Now, some of the stuff he just does because the Holy Spirit's a wrecking ball to sin, a wrecking ball to the flesh, right? He comes to lead us into all truth. Isn't that the Bible says? And he'll kick everything that's in the way out of the way to get you to the truth. Might require your cooperation. But I love that picture. Matthew 13:30. So you can quote that passage of Scripture and you can say it to the Lord and you can say it to the enemy. Holy Spirit, please come and work through my mind, my will, and my emotions, and whatever you find that's opposed to the Lord, I'm giving you permission. Get rid of it. Break it down. Pull it out. Right? It's like what, you know, the Bible says Jesus went to the cross, you know, for the joy set before him. Despising shame. I love that. When he finds shame in somebody, he despises the shame. Not the person that has the shame. He despises the shame. And what does he do with it? Nothing that we can read here. I mean, he tears it up. Children shouldn't hear what he does. He erodes it so that it can't be in there anymore. Not just that, but that's a perfect picture of what he does. He despises it and he acts like he does. Right? He loves the truth. He's the Spirit of truth. And so, see, when he finds things that aren't true, what's he going to do? Eliminate them. That's what he wants to do. So that's kind of the first step, if you ask me, is opening yourself in ways that maybe you never have to the Lord renewing your mind. And I used to do when I taught the kids, it's not a brain transplant, it's a mind transplant. And that's really kind of what it is. Well, we have the mind of Christ. Well, then act like it. No, he's giving us the mind of Christ. We're in the process of being changed in our thinking by the mind of Christ. Isn't it good? Well, how does that happen? Well, in here. It's an in here operation. The weapons that you use are not anything you have at your disposal in the natural realm. They're the Word of God, quickened by the Spirit of God, by the power of the name of God, because you've been washed in the blood and purchased with the price. How's that? So all of those things are weapons. The blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the Word of God, the Spirit of God working in us. So what do you do with those things? Cooperate! That's what we do. Use the word. Use the word. Say it. Pray it. Give it. The Lord loves to hear you say what he's already said to him. If you're a parent and you say something and your child mimics it, and it's not, no, honey, don't say that. My kids used to do that. Anyway, poor Rachel, but she was like two, and I would... And she'd say it, and I thought it was funny, and Kathy thought, I'm going to kill you. You're ruining my child. That's my kid, too. And I'd get her alone, and I'd say, oh, baby, don't hurt Daddy anymore. Don't say anything Daddy says. And she's young enough, she forgot it. I didn't. But the word began to work in me and start changing that. And that stuff quit coming out of my mouth, not instantaneously. And I worked it. I stopped and prayed 1 John 1, 9 every time. And I didn't even know I was supposed to do that. I just made a deal with God. I said, Lord, I got to quit doing this. So I'm just going to say, every time I cuss, I'm going to say that verse. I don't know. It's probably Kathy that brought that verse to me. Because I just been saved. I didn't know what any verses were. And somebody taught me that verse. I'm assuming it was her because she knew I needed to use it. But I learned to use it. And that's the only one I knew how to pray. So every time I cussed and I stopped myself, I prayed 1 John 1:9. Lord, you're faithful and just, you know, forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I'd say, Lord, I'm going to do this every time. And I just got so sick of it. So I'm going to get fired. I can't do this every day. But it worked. And pretty soon, boop. And the stuff didn't come out of me because it wasn't in me like it was before. And I had to give him a little time for that stuff to work. Now, this is it. You know what this is called? Purification. What? Well, you're saying you're pure? No, I'm saying I was impure and I needed to be purified. The fact that if anybody's pure, it's because they weren't pure and the Lord's purifying them. How many people are born pure? Nada. Nobody. And when you're born again, you still carry most of that stuff. And you got to get rid of it. Am I good? So, using the Word of God, You can sing it. I won't sing it, but I've got little songs I've written just out of verses that came out of my mouth, you know. And I haven't punished Wes with them, so I would just leave them. I'll just be my worship, doesn't have to be anybody else's. But singing it, saying it, praying it, just thinking about it. Just thinking about it. I was thinking about that before Kathy asked me that question the other day, and I said, you know, I don't know that I really know that much, but every time I got in a problem, every time I got to the point where a normal person would quit, not normal, the Lord would speak some kind of word to me, and I'd say it back to him. I said, well, Lord, you said this, and it certainly is not my, it might be my expectation, but it is not my experience. What are we going to do? And somehow we just kept doing, you know? But he would imprint some passage of scripture because I'd been reading it kind of fervently. And he'd imprint that on me and I'd begin to say it. Well, you know what? I believed it more after I said it. I'd get back here and find another one. And I would oppose what was going on in me that the enemy was trying to, you know, the guilt, the shame, all that kind of stuff. I was a prime candidate for all that stuff. But I said, listen, I don't get this. But he says, I'm the righteousness of God. So I needed to believe it. The devil already knew it, right? I mean, he knows the word and trembles. But I needed to know I was the righteousness of God. And I had a hard time believing it because my activities didn't necessarily proclaim my righteousness, if you know what I mean. But he was causing us, as we had the Holy Spirit working in us, to live up to the reality that he'd already imparted to us. And so when the enemy would come, I said, hey, you're going to talk to him because he says, I'm the righteousness of God. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, sucker. I mean, you don't have to be polite. But when I believed it because of saying it and reading it, my behavior began to reflect it. Not perfectly, but compared. Wow. And so even when I would mess up, Kathy would say, psh, I really don't care. You've changed so much. Something, you're, God's doing so much with you, I don't care. Yeah, she needed to say it, and I needed to hear it. So, word is a weapon. Word is a weapon when you read it, say it, sing it, pray it. It's okay to pray the word to him. It's just what we were being told this morning. You use the word to talk to the Lord, and you also use the word to push back against the enemy. Right? So Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which, and be transformed by the Spirit, not conformed to the world. And this is your reasonable service of worship. Give your bodies to the Lord in order to renew your mind. And I'm going, you know, my knees and ankles really don't have thoughts. Why would I give my body? I mean, I thought, why would you want my body? I already said yes. Jesus is in me. Why would you want my body? And you know, and then it occurred to me, oh, all the stuff you do wrong, your body does it. Stealing, right? Speaking, you know. And I thought, oh, yeah, walking to the place where you're going to do what you shouldn't do, your body's doing all that. And he says, give me your bodies. Why? Because I already have your spirit. I already have your heart. Give me your body. And I told the Lord, I mean, looking in the mirror, listen, this isn't the best part of me. I did. I said, this isn't. Let me give you the good stuff. Why would you want my body? And I just didn't make any sense to me until I said, okay, here it is. You got it, what you got. You know, a little shine on top, all that. And then I recognized why he needed it, because he lives here. Wow. He lives in us. And you know what it's like if you have a person in your house that's not following the house rules? You know, I got an amen on that one. It's the same thing. You love them so much, you don't want to ever kick them out, but they're doing stuff that would prove they should be kicked out. And perhaps they're doing it over and over. And I thought, oh, got it, because that's what the, got it. So now, I found out that I don't even own me. He does. Right? I've been bought with a price. And so, I get to live in this thing, and I don't pay any rent. It's his. So he has the right to tell me what should be going on under the roof. Am I making any sense to anybody? And so I said, okay. And that freed up some things so that my mind could be renewed. Because he said, that's the outcome. But he doesn't say, let me renew your mind so you give me your body. He says, give me your body so I can renew your mind. Yeah, he's sneaky, isn't he? I mean, he knows how to work it. But that interior thing where he's doing that. Now, he says, by the renewing of your mind, not your brain. So it's not like the organ. It's not your brain. It's your mind. It's the thing you think with. Consequently, it's the thing you make choices with. And because your soul's involved, it's the way you feel about things. And you can just believe the heck out of the Bible and feel things that are totally opposed to the Bible. Am I right? Like, there's not much immorality going on in America, right? See, and you can believe all that, but if you're feeling those things that drive you in that direction, that's where the work needs to get done. But there's got to be cooperation. He does the tearing down, but we live here too, and he loves our cooperation. So what's the cooperation? Well, I put myself in the Word. I worship. I pray. I thank God for my forgiveness and my cleansing. Man, cleansing, wow. I've gone over that before, but to walk away clean, holy moly, that's a big deal. And that's what began to happen to me. You know, I would say that, you know, tell Kathy, like somebody took my brains out and washed them, put them back in, because I thought so different. And I began to believe so differently, and I would defend what the Bible had to say when I really didn't know what it had to say. I'm saying, what's going on here? She said, well, Holy Spirit's really doing something. And I said, he could tell a guy. You know, I'm not aware sometimes of what he's doing, but he wants me to be aware so I can cooperate. I'm going to see what I've done in my outline here. So, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, right? So how are we breaking the stronghold? We're using the Word of God under the empowerment of the Spirit of God to make us a vessel of God, clear and clean. And he loves tearing down, ripping out those thought patterns that somehow got into us from our parents or from teachers or, you know, for me, the Beatles, you know, very strong influence on my life. Paul Simon, very strong. Bob Dylan, strong influences on my life. Wonderful guys write incredible songs, but they don't have everything figured out right spiritually. And they put you in a slant where, you know, it's cool. You know, it's cool to think that way, but it's not biblical to think that way. And there was a real time in my life where I was much more concerned about being cool than I was about being biblical. You got to get over that. You have to get over that. Especially if you're younger, it's harder. Right? You know, it's just that way. That's why how I sound sometimes when the Lord's telling me to do something. I'm a little whiny. Where's Kenny? I have a testimony for you. Actually, Kenny has a testimony for you, but come on up here, man. He's had a wonderful experience. Oh, wow. Brought the bag. Oh, I know what that is. Yeah, I do now. Cool.
What's in there has been approved by our pastor.
That's right. He loves you. That's right.
Got it. Will need somebody to hold that for me.
I got it.
Okay.
That's perfect, man.
Green light?
Go for it.
Okay. So I have a story to tell you. Last Sunday when John was teaching, I kept seeing something, and what you're seeing now is what I was seeing. But I didn't know it was a person standing like this, holding a dead thing in chains. And I kept wondering, why don't they just drop the dead thing so the chains can fall off? So I went through Sunday thinking about that, and then Monday morning I was thinking about it and considering it, and what could we do to help that person be free, and who is it? And that's when the Holy Spirit said, it's you. So as soon as I heard that, I knew it was true. And to explain what this is a stronghold that was restraining me. And what it was is I had lived through a series of disappointments and things that hurt me. And a lot of it had to do with things that had happened in churches. And I had either thought or said, probably both, that I would never minister prophetically in front of a church again. And so I've been able to do some prophetic things in Saturday morning prayer and in soul care ministry, which I'll tell you, soul care is a good thing if you have an opportunity to participate. But when it came to Sunday morning church, I would shut down when I came in here, and I would listen to what you taught.
Amen.
But I would not be open to me saying a word, and I certainly didn't want to be up here in front of you. So when the Lord pointed that out to me, he made it clear it's time for me to let go of this. And so I want to apologize to all of you because I withheld something that was not mine to withhold from you. And I hope you can forgive me. And in a minute, in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to let go of this. And I expect to be more free than I have been for a long time.
Amen.
But at the same time, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying that there are some of you who are holding on to something like this. There are some of you who have hurts that you're holding on to, and by holding on to those, you've got this chain around your arms, and you can't function like you need to. The Lord Jesus, he suffered so much and endured so much to give you freedom.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want to see you living like this.
Mm.
So it's okay to invite them to join
yes,
me?
Absolutely.
Is it okay if they come down here, or you want them to stay where they're at?
However you want to do it.
If you would like to, I'd like for you to quiet yourself and listen very carefully to what the Holy Spirit's moving you to do. If you have something that's holding you back and you'd like to release it, you're welcome to join me down here and we'll do it together.
Yeah.
You can start coming now if you feel that. Anyone that feels that can come. I highly recommend it. Being completely surrendered and completely obedient to the Lord Jesus is the way to have peace and joy. Anyone here who wants to come, please come. And anyone who's watching, you can do this where you're at.
Yes, that's right.
We'll wait for anyone who wants to come.
Elders, if you guys want to come over, so when we pray.
Yeah. Bless you, Lord. We thank you for the freedom that you paid for us. You paid such a high price for mm-hmm. the freedom that we can have in you, Lord.
Yes.
Are we ready?
Looks like.
If there's anyone else that would like to come, just come on down. If you're not ready, the Lord was very patient with me. He's very gentle. He's very patient. But we need to remember he is a king, the mm-hmm. King of Kings.
Yes.
He's a lamb, but he is the Lion of Judah.
That's right.
He's not one to be trifled with. But he will be patient with you, like he was with me. If it's not your time, just hang in there. So I think everybody's here.
Looks like it.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for this opportunity to be free in you.
Yes, Lord.
We want your freedom. We want to be your obedient servants and more than servants, friends. Lord, we love you. We give you these things, these dead things that we've held on to. On the count of three, we're going to release these things. One, two, three, release it. Thank you, Jesus, for the freedom that you give. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we know we want to serve you. We want to be completely obedient to you, your servants and your friends, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lord. Let revival come in
yes,
each of
Lord.
Us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And we ask
thank you
in
Lord.
Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Yeah.
This is just powerful. I want to ask you to forgive me for a spirit of pride. I have such a gift of love for people, and sometimes I have such pride. And I'm like, Lord, that's just so awful. That is not your heart. I just want you to know each of you is called your beautiful people. We all have gifts for this kingdom to serve our Lord, and we have to love each other right where we're at. We did the IF gathering yesterday, and it was so powerful. Some of the words, I just didn't have a lot of time to chew on it, but it was just like one of those things. It's like we are the church. Each one of us is who Jesus loves. We are the church. And we have to deal with each other in our messes. We have to love each other right where we're at. So I just ask you to forgive me for pride. And it's not so much that I've maybe reflected it on you. It's just weird how that dynamic works. Mm. But anyhow, I just ask for your forgiveness.
Thank you, Steph. You know, last week we had a testimony. Remember the power.
Yes.
Remember the power. Remember the power. And whoops. I can do this. The power, and drop those when I want you to, will you? The power is greater than the weight of the chain. I don't care how long it's been on you or with you, power of God is more important and more powerful than the weight of the chains. The weight of the chains made my microphone fall down, so but it can't silence the voice of God. And so, as Kenny demonstrated that, I'm going to let him throw them again so you can feel the weight come off. You heard the sound of the chains coming down, but you need to feel the power of the Lord on you as the weight of the chains drop. So go ahead and drop those things, Kenny. Let your power come, Lord. Touch every heart that's standing and the ones that didn't feel like they could stand. We're asking for that freedom to be experienced, felt in the now. So the enemy can't come and say, see, nothing happened to you. That's a lie. It's already a lie. And we pray for the power of God to come. Let your power come, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Stripping us of the chains and healing the wounds where the chains rubbed and rubbed and rubbed against our thinking. Lord, heal those spots. Break the strongholds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Demolish, Lord, what has stood against you. Even these are crying hearts. These are people that love you dearly. But, Lord, there are things that occlude our vision. We can't see you clearly. We can't hear you as clearly. We say, strike that blow that we can walk in freedom. Lord, thank you for useless chains that have fallen. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you. And I'm just saying, Lord, you said don't forget the power. So we say, come, power of God. Come, power of God. Do everything that you want, all that you have asked, Lord, for us to comply with. We say, yes. Let your power flow. Let your power flow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What we've seen and what we're seeing at this moment, it's actually in my notes to me, one of the major weapons is humility. And Kenny and I talked about this in the prayer room yesterday, and he said that I feel like the Lord wants me to humble myself in front of my brothers and sisters who I have withheld my gift from. And I said, that's awesome. I knew then something was cooking and could be released. And so, Lord, grant us that humility. That, you know, Jesus had that humility that he didn't even count equality with God something to hold on to, but he let it go and took the form of a person, of a man, willing to do that. And so, Lord, click that switch in us so that nothing would stop us from saying, oh, God, we didn't know this was in your way. And if we need to apologize to people, fine. But you've given us a move of humility today. And I think you've put that as a weapon in our hands. You said your weapons are mighty through God. This is one that's mighty through God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Any of you got anything else?
I mean,
what you've done is pretty good.
What I did was what I was supposed to do.
Yes. Okay, I want to ask one question. I'm going to humble myself before you and ask a question. Did anybody not feel like something happened? In other words, do you not feel free? Did you not sense something coming, touching you? It felt good to me. The feeling isn't the issue. The issue is that's a testimony to that the Lord has done something. And, you know, my prayer has been for that, the power of God to come and for there to be no question that he's been here when we're done. You know, it's that confluential flow of the evidential power of God where there's evidence on the scene. Like the chains at Kenny's feet. So Lord, thank you that you do empower us.
Yes.
And it's for the purpose of freedom. Thank you for doing that with us today. You have something else, man? Let me turn that on.
I don't know why, but the Lord had me bring this bag specifically. And the story behind this bag is that my cousin made this bag for us. My cousin was one of those army guys that jumps out of a perfectly functional airplane over and over and over. And he did that. And sometimes when he jumped out of the airplane, he didn't talk about it, but I'm sure that sometimes when he jumped out of the airplane, there was people shooting at him.
Yeah.
And some things happened to him while he was serving. And he was wounded physically and in his mind and in his heart. And he ended up living in a tiny little trailer on a mountain by himself without his wife and without his sons. And I think part of the reason the Lord had me use this is because I really hope that he's free now.
Hmm.
He's no longer on the earth. I hope he's free.
Hmm.
And we don't want to live through what he went through.
That's right.
So.
Well, every chain has a home. And we are the ones that provide it. So I would tell you this, if freedom has really come on this thing that you've been talking about and praying about, you can expect the opportunity for freedom to come in some other areas as well. This cropped up with Ken. He was praying for the person that needed to hear this, and he said, oh, it's you. Wow, that's a horribly wonderful thing to hear. Both at the same time. So don't be surprised. There may be new opportunities for freedom. That's all I'm saying. That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. That's a great thing where you get to oppose it and it gets to die in you. That's a perfect thing. And then know this. I was told this earlier today. Very simple. But man, this is really important when you're going through these things. He said, in whatever condition you're in, I'll never leave you. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you haven't done, I will never leave you. He never has, and he never will. And this is an invitation, what you're doing, to invite him in even deeper and more intense. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for touching people, Lord. As Kenny prayed earlier, I just pray for anybody online, let the freedom flow. Let the freedom flow. Thank you that you're moving and working in our little family. And thank you for all the evidences of it today. We heard it in worship. We heard it in the testifying. Heard it in the preaching. Lord, you're doing it. You are working to change the way we think. Because you want us to be able to cooperate with you when you do the thing that we have prayed and prayed and prayed that you would do, that a move of God would come our way, and we wouldn't be so silly not as to miss it or not see it. No, we'd be ready to comply, ready to fulfill what you're wanting to fill. And thank you, Lord. You want to use us. That's why you want to change us.
Yes.
And we just say, yes. Our vote is in the box. It says yes to what you're doing, Lord. Thank you that you haven't left us out. Lord, I love that fact that you desire for us to be part of what you're doing. And we welcome you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the patient children's workers. Seriously, that's a wonderful thing. need to bless them and say thank you. And Lord, we remember we want to experience your power.
Yes.
Thank you for it today, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Looks like we're done. I don't know if he is, but it looks like we are. Yeah. Thank you for being here. God bless you. We'll see you next time.